So yeah, I mean, let's go.
You forgot what
I was saying. Yeah, I forgot what you were saying. All I had was a Coke and some potato chips.
Hi, and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea, I do some research, I grab a bottle of wine, I bring everything to Mark, and he pontificates. In today's episode, we are rounding up our conversation about the simulation hypothesis by asking two questions. If we are living in a simulation, why has it been constructed? And if we are, so what? Mark and I will chat about the implications of discovering that we are not really independent human beings with a consciousness of our own, but rather artificial intelligence that has somehow become conscious and is existing in a computer simulation of some sort. We are grateful that you come to listen to us each week, and if you do enjoy us, please share us with a friend. Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Christina LaRusso. So I understand we're here to do some podcasting.
We are. This is a podcast.
Oh, is it? Good. Yes. That'll help people. Okay, a podcast. Is this about anything?
Well, you know, it's just about whatever strikes my fancy at any given time. Although we are trying to figure out whether or not we should limit our topic scope.
Right.
So I don't know if you have any opinion on this, if you would like us to narrow our focus and just talk about one subject. Please let us know. I don't know what we would do that would be... I like being able to talk about a bunch of different things.
So just do it. Nobody's stopping you.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with a bunch of different things. But if somebody comes up with an idea, maybe we can work that into our rotation.
Maybe, yes.
All right, well, reach out to us at extemporaneouspod@gmail.com, and it starts with an X. Mark, hot take. Well, actually, we're now coming to the end of this discussion.
Yeah.
So let's do a hot take on this, because I don't know that we can do a hot take on the two things that we're going to talk about today. But let's do a hot take on this. How have you enjoyed this conversation?
Intellectually.
No? You know what I mean.
No, I really like it. I think it's a fascinating subject. And I think just sitting here bantering about it kind of helps me focus my feelings about it and sort out what I think the truth of the matter is, even though I really have no way of actually figuring it out, right? But it definitely has helped kind of clarify some of my thoughts. And it's an interesting thought experiment, right? And it's one that could very well be the case, unlike, you know, a lot of thought experiments you go into are fairly outlandish and would never happen. And you know me, I love the philosophy crap, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, same with me. As you know, coming into this conversation, I was really looking forward to having it because I've been thinking about it for some time, even long before we started recording these episodes. So this has been probably one of my favorite series of episodes to record.
Yeah.
And I just can't stop thinking about this.
Well, you're obsessive.
I am obsessive. And we know that at least one of our listeners has been provoked to kind of question her experience.
Reality.
Yes, her reality. Shout out to Carolyn.
Sorry, man. sorry we upset your whole life.
So I thought that we would start this conversation out by asking the question, if some descendants of ours have created an ancestor simulation.
Yeah.
Which is Bostrom's...
That's his structure.
Hypothesis. Yeah. That it's descendants that are creating a simulation.
We're dead.
Of us. Of us.
We're dead.
We would have existed in this situation, I think. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. In the base reality, we would have existed at some point in this time frame.
In that formulation of it, yes. Because, of course, they're simulating their ancestors, presumably more or less accurately.
But this, right. But so this could mean that it's, you know, it wouldn't be our great-grandchildren, would be our great-great-great-great-great-great, you know, like many multiple greats-grandchildren.
Yes. 80 greats, something like that.
Some really long distance from now.
Yeah.
Okay. That presupposes that humans continue to exist.
It does.
Presupposes that we somehow, well, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that we're on Earth. It could mean that they
be anywhere.
They could be anywhere. They could have had to bail out of Earth and find some other planet.
Could have been. They might not even be corporeal beings anymore. Maybe they've evolved to be little balls of light. And they're like, remember when we used to be big bags of flesh and liquid and stuff?
What did that look like?
Let's recreate that.
It's like living
fuck
history.
Fuck with them.
All right. So why would they do it?
That's a good question. I probably wouldn't. I don't know that that's a simulation that would be compelling to me, but maybe. I just don't think you could get enough things right to make an accurate simulation of it. But that's me. So certainly intellectual curiosity. It's research. Research for research's sake, you know. Or maybe something horrible went wrong somewhere in the species and they want to see if they can pinpoint where that happened. And to do that, they need to run about, you know, 400,000 years of simulation. Proof of concept. Like, I just want to prove that I could make a simulation of the universe. Mm-hmm. Because if it is a simulation, we don't know how long it's been running.
Right.
Maybe like the last 30 seconds. Everything else is just an implanted memory.
Right.
Right? So we have no clue.
Wow. That's true.
I mean, it could have started 30 seconds ago from here. Mm-hmm. Or from here. I think you see where I'm going with this.
I see where you're going with this.
So we have no clue. Mm-hmm. To the best of our knowledge, at least you and I have been around for, you know, a number of decades mm-hmm. as either simulated beings or real beings. And we have memories of such things. But again, you know, if you're in a simulation, you can't trust shit.
Right. You don't know what time really is. And we don't know what time really is.
We don't.
That's the thing. And we know that time as we imagine it, I guess, and even this is who knows, right? Like, this is where it starts to get really, really fuzzy.
Yeah.
Because then nothing is true and everything can be true if we're in a simulation. So it could be that life has just started for us 30 seconds ago, but we have all of these implanted memories, as you say. Or it could be a real-time simulation that for us is running a lifetime. But for the individuals
whoever's
who are creating it, time wouldn't necessarily mean that for them. Time is totally different.
Their time could move just the same as ours, and they just, you know, the simulation is just going to run concurrent with their lives, and they'll die and, you know, move on, and the next people will take over the simulation, whatever. We don't know. That's just it. You have no clue what form this simulation would be taking.
For me, if it is descendants doing a simulation, looking at their ancestors, let's say that the only simulation that is happening for my descendant is my life. Let's say that
the only real simulation.
Let's say that they want to say, well, what, you know, great, 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 great grandmother Christina or whatever, what was her life like?
Yeah.
And they just want to see that. And maybe it's just something that you can do with each of your ancestors. And that to me, it seems like a whole long life, but then it's not really.
Maybe they're running it speeded up.
Maybe
or something.
Maybe it's like a like Minecraft cycle of day where it's like quick day and quick night, right? But for me, it feels like it's a normal thing.
The mayfly may think that he's 35 years old when he dies.
You don't know. I mean, they're probably exhausted. They've had a long day. I feel
it's been a day, and I'm going to die now.
I've felt that way many a time at the end of the day. So for me, if it is a descendant that's doing it, then I would say maybe it's because they're curious about their family. Maybe this is the way they do their ancestry now. Maybe,
this is ancestry.com in the 50th century.
Yeah.
Or millennium or whatever.
Whatever. Right. Okay. And then, on the other hand, they could be doing a simulation to see, like, maybe I think you said it, something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
And they want to figure out how.
Yeah.
What?
Let's run some sims, see what's happening, see where we need to destroy humanity in order to prevent this problem or whatever it is.
Or whatever. Or provide some. But they couldn't because they would have to then be able to go back in time. Now, this opens up the question about also maybe time travel at that point is possible.
Who knows?
Maybe where they are, time travel is possible. Where we are, it isn't because they've put that limitation into effect.
Fuckers.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you. Let me go back in time, you guys.
No. Forward in time, because back in time does not have air conditioning.
Oh, I just want to see history.
All right. Well, guess what? This is history right now. What's up?
Well, it'll be history soon. I think that there could be loads of reasons why. But I think that I guess they could also be doing it just as a game.
Sure.
Maybe or they, it's
maybe
just
they
a
have a god
game.
Complex, right? They're like, this is now my universe. I've created it. I'm going to let it run and see what happens.
Yeah, but you know? maybe this kind of ability to create a simulation is just very easy. Maybe it's not, you know, to us it would seem super complex, but maybe at that point it has become something that just like any kid could do.
I'm just hanging out in somebody's Game Boy.
And I'm a video game. We're in a video game, an intense video game, but a video game. Yeah. Where they're making decisions or they put in conditions where they, you know, things happen and they see what is your.
Let's see how they'd handle a hurricane.
How would they handle this? How would they handle that? So it could just be a game. It could be for a greater purpose to try and figure out where something went wrong or where they could prevent something from going wrong.
Here's an idea. We don't have any idea what the morality or ethics or whatever of creatures that could do this would be.
Well, and we're going to get to that in our second segment.
Let's say they accidentally blew up the Earth. They were studying us. Somebody left the lid off of something. Who knows what it is? Boom. Wipes us out.
Mm-hmm.
They feel guilty about this. They're like, well, can't bring them back. But what we could do is simulate humanity. And in that way, in our simulation, humanity can continue. And they'll never be the wiser. Kill this Bostrom guy. They probably killed him off, I guess. But, you know, and it could just be like recompense for something that went wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Or when we talked about why our descendants might do this, maybe our species is dying out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we have to preserve something. We're going to simulate human history
mm-hmm.
for later people to find while we're long dead. We're just going to keep it running. It's solar powered. Don't worry about it. We're cool.
Mm-hmm.
So until the sun blows up, which honestly would have destroyed humanity anyway, the simulation will continue to run.
Well, and that's the whole thing. We assume that we're here and the sun hasn't blown up.
Everything is imaginary.
It could be all imaginary. This is could be just that they and that might be it. You know, like that's actually pretty satisfying. Is that it's just a way to. Where they are now, as our descendants, they have reached kind of the end.
There's a bewildering number of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no closer to figuring out which one it is.
No, but there are lots of reasons why it could be. And it's fun to speculate about what the reasons why are.
If it wasn't, we'd picked a dumb topic for our podcast today.
It's true.
So hopefully everybody else agrees that this is a fun discussion.
I mean, we might have lost some people during the science talk.
I guarantee we lost some people. We almost lost me. I'm like, you know what? I'm boring me with all this science.
No, you didn't. Did you really think that?
I think I'm amazing.
So let's move on to the second question, and this will probably be a lengthier conversation. I hope so.
Because we have like an hour to fill here.
I know. So. What are the implications if we are?
Sure.
So like all of a sudden, they go on the news and they say...
That's just in. We're not real. Including me.
This
Good
is
night.
Chaos.
It is chaos. That would be chaos.
All right, so
somehow or another, we've figured it out.
We learn that we are in a simulation.
All right, so there's a lot of things that are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most significant changes, I think, would be in morality and ethics.
Yeah, well, and that's my whole thing is, number one, is it ethical for people to do this or for any, you know, whatever. We call them people because that's the word that we use. But would it be ethical to do something like this? Where the AI is conscious, but unconscious of their actual reality. They're conscious within the reality, but their reality is they're living in a computer on someone's desk.
Right. I think, just to answer that initial question, mm-hmm. here's how I see it. I would hold them to the same standards that I would hold a proposed deity. Because you've created this.
Mm-hmm.
The parameters were within your control. Maybe you started, you know, at an initial condition and decided to just let it go wherever it's going to go, but you decided that. So I don't necessarily have a problem with having people or simulated people not be aware that they're simulations, mm-hmm. right? Because I kind of would say that's an analogous to lying to your kids about Santa Claus, right? It's not going to hurt them to believe in Santa Claus. They're not really ready to handle that there is not a Santa Claus. But you are responsible now for not only the good things, but all the bad shit in the world. So to them, I would go, really? Eye cancer for infants. Uh-huh. That's a thing that you thought would be interesting in the simulation. Regardless of whether people who get eye cancer are, quote unquote, real people, that is, real simulations that are now have achieved some level of independence or self-awareness, mm-hmm. or if they're just NPCs, still fucked up, mm-hmm. right? Eye cancer in children, that's terrible. They're born with eye cancer, it takes their vision, and then it kills them. Mm-hmm. That is wicked, right? That's evil. Mm-hmm. And the governing principle, I think, for almost all morality is don't cause unnecessary pain. Right? That's a pretty good founding principle. Don't cause unnecessary pain. Now, there's necessary pain, right? You know, the guy's trying to rob your grandma and you hit him with a chair. Okay, that's necessary pain. But a baby being born, there's no necessary pain that needs to happen there. And there are a lot of instances of unnecessary pain in this world. So I would have to then argue that whoever created this simulation is a bit of a shithead.
Would you like to hear what Nick Bostrom says?
I would love to hear what Nick Bostrom All right. says.
So he writes, one can speculate that advanced civilizations all develop a longer trajectory that leads to the recognition of an ethical prohibition against running ancestor simulations because of the suffering that is inflicted on the inhabitants of the simulation. However, from our present point of view, it is not clear that creating a human race is immoral.
No, I agree with that.
On the contrary, we tend to view the existence of our race as constituting a great ethical value. Moreover, convergence on an ethical view of the immorality of running ancestor simulations is not enough. It must be combined with convergence on a civilization-wide social structure that enables activities considered immoral to be effectively banned.
Right. So not only does the society have to agree that it's bad, but they have to have the wherewithal to keep people from sneaking off and building simulations. I agree with that. But I also think that it's important to hold whoever is creating the simulation responsible for any bad shit that happens in that simulation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just like accidental stuff, because they could intervene at any time and take away eye cancer for children or hemorrhoids.
All right.
We give those to people who have done nothing wrong except having a butthole. Right? But here now they have all kinds of stuff giving them itchies down there or whatever, however it works. I've never had them, so I'm not sure. Sounds awful though. But why do that, right? Unless you're just a dick. You're an omnipotent dick.
Okay, but here's the thing. Let's say that life as they know it is how life is now. There are incurable or strange yeah. diseases that people sure. get. Let's say that they've set up a simulation that is their reality, and they're just running the simulation. Do they have a moral or an ethical obligation to remove those things that are real life to them? They're dealing with it because they're not. Let's say they're not immortal.
I still think so. So, you know, I would never create, and there are people who do it, but like, remember when Sims were really popular? Mm-hmm. And people would create a house where their Sim was locked in a room and couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't sleep, or couldn't eat.
What?
And you see this Sim like gradually deteriorating and like tear emojis are like flying out of their head and stuff. And eventually they just die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. See, people do that. Right. But I think that that's a little fucked up, people who have done that. Like, you might want to, you know, get right with Jesus there. Although Jesus, he's got problems too. So, but I understand that. And they might then make the argument that, well, we're learning so much from this simulation that we have to have it be realistic. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, you have to have eye cancer in the babies.
Yeah, right? Maybe.
They might.
Maybe what they do is they run a bunch of simulations because you, if you, there's one, there's more than one.
Almost certainly.
One would assume. Okay, so let's say they run a bunch of simulations and they throw, you know, the same conditions. They've figured out what the initial condition for the birth of the universe is, let's say. And they throw all of those same conditions in. And then they just watch each different simulation because maybe not every single one follows the same path.
And that was our clockmaker theory, right?
And maybe they're just hoping that in one of the simulations, someone figures out a way to cure eye cancer in infants.
Yeah. I can tell you one way to cure it. Delete that line from the program.
But to cure it for real, they run a simulation.
Yeah.
They
Again, that's a reasonable counter argument. Look, let's be honest. If you can create a granular working scale model of a galaxy and be so sophisticated that you can create simulations that become self-aware, can cure eye cancer.
Maybe.
No, there you can definitely do
it. Well, but then let's say it's something else. All right.
No, I understand.
But in order to get to that something else, they have to be able to let eye cancer exist. Like maybe cancer mutates a lot. You know, maybe there's a known evolution of the cancer gene.
Right.
Or no, you're, I mean, whatever. Yeah, right.
That's fair.
Okay. So then there's that. What also, like, I don't know if we're, I know that we're more squeamish about it now, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't still happen, doesn't still exist, which is testing on animals. And we do, you know, I mean, so even in real life.
Oh, I'm not saying that we're not every bit as culpable as these people would be. But then we make moral judgments about things like that. We either decide that it's okay, or we decide that's unnecessary pain. I still think you can judge them morally for that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they may have a completely different ethical system, but you can only ever judge people as best you can, you know, given your own morality, reasoning, et cetera. That's the best you can ever do. So I never say, oh, you're not, you know, like people argue, well, you can't judge God. He's more powerful than you. Certainly he would be, right, if he existed. But that doesn't mean that I can't judge him. I just might not be very good at it, right? Or I may be, you know, just an incompetent judger of gods. Maybe, but that I still feel like you have a responsibility to make moral judgments in these cases. And I would treat the designers of the simulation the same way. I would hold them responsible for bad shit that happened because of their simulation.
So would you say that this would be true of a society? You kind of hinted at it. You said, well, they would have figured out how to cure eye cancer. Do you think that they would have overcome pain and death?
Good question.
I mean, because then if you would say, because those are two things that really haunt, you mentioned pain, but death is another thing that really hangs over the human condition.
It does.
And it's a for sure thing, there's going to be death.
Right.
No one wins this and gets out alive. All right. So
there can be only one.
Let's say then that at some point humans have figured out how to become immortal.
Yeah.
And they don't have pain. So then I would say if that is the case, if they evolve, if humans evolve, and I can't even imagine what would be the benefit of it. Your world would become super overcrowded. Well, you would just breed less, I guess.
Sure.
But
it's a big universe. Yeah. I wouldn't be too concerned.
Yeah, but okay, so let's say that you...
Like, it's a really big universe.
It's true.
It's bigger than the biggest thing you've ever seen.
Well, that's true. If we've overcome death and pain, then we know how to fly to other planets.
Everybody can have their own planet. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So...
Like, when you get to be 16, like, your parents hand you the keys to a new planet.
Or you've evolved to the point where you're just a brain, and they are brains that want to experience having a body.
Sure. Well, that's the Matrix, basically, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that because I've never seen the Matrix. Is that what the Matrix is about?
I don't even know what to do with you.
Well, I mean, you're the one that doesn't like peanut butter, so.
Okay, how does that even
I just think back on that conversation last week, and I'm like, what the hell? I was saying that they've overcome pain and death.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's a moral responsibility. I would say if they still are facing those things and there is something that they can learn of value, I mean, it's tough, but
Let me ask it this way for you. See if we can make it a little bit more concrete. Let's say you are such a great Minecraft designer that Steve becomes aware. You figured this out. Steve is like, you know, acting independently. He's asking questions of the simulation, you know, and, you know, you built him this really sweet house, but, you know, there's still zombies and shit everywhere. So let me ask you this. Would you then, now that you know that Steve is aware, are you going to change the way you play the game?
Yes, because then he could die.
Right. And so then you're going to go max protect, right? You're going to have like all the walls. You're going to make sure no creepers can get in. You know, you're going to have plenty of food there for him. He's only going to go out and, you know, you're not going to like do anything risky.
He's only going out in the daytime.
And you're not doing anything risky like, you know, mining in caves or anything if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to keep poor Steve alive, right? That's because you have a moral code.
Well, I have empathy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, all right, like, you know, I have all this control over Steve. You know, maybe I should make things a little safer and, you know, put some cushions around this sandbox that he's playing in. Or you can say, you know what? Steve is his own dude. He can do what he wants.
Well, because then I'm not making decisions anymore. I couldn't.
Right. But you could still, you know, like build walls and stuff. I mean, it's still Minecraft, right? You can still build walls and you can pick Steve up.
I can only build walls if Steve builds the walls. I can't build the walls.
You can tell Steve to build walls.
How would I? If at that point, then I'm not just the watchmaker.
All-powerful designer.
Then I'm not just the watchmaker. Because if at some point, see, it wouldn't be.
Well, you can make the watch and then move the gears around if you want. I mean, you have that power.
Yeah, but I'm saying that this would be like a watchmaker thing where they set the
I didn't give you that in my parameters. Well, all I said was.
So in this one, I can be a god that gets involved with his life?
All you know now is that Steve is self-aware. You can still direct him to do shit. You know, I don't know how that works, whether it's a booming voice from the sky or he just feels compelled like a puppet. But you can still get him to build walls or whatever. But if you leave him alone, he'll go and do his own thing.
Yeah, well, so, I have to let him go and do his own thing.
Do you have to? What if his own thing is going to get him killed by one of those green guys?
If his own thing is to get him killed by one of the green guys, then I have to say, I let him do his thing.
Couldn't you have warned him? You could build a sign that says, Steve, only go out during the day.
The only way that this would work is if there were other players in Minecraft that were not yet conscious, and then I could move those guys around, because if he has suddenly become sentient and he knows he's his own guy, he's going to be moving and doing his own thing.
But you could still control him. You run the game. You have the controller in your hand.
Yeah, but you said that he's thinking for himself.
He is, but you can still override that. Like, let's say God exists. He's like, okay, Mark sure is thinking about some dumb stuff, but I'm all powerful. I'm going to make him do this for now.
But that's assuming that the creator is all powerful.
In Minecraft, you're pretty powerful. You can do pretty much what you want.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time separating.
Because you're not trying to.
No,
you're not trying
I am. To put yourself in that spot. I don't know how I can have a conscious thing that's moving around and also control him.
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you just want to communicate with him, right? Now you're going to be the booming voice from the clouds.
Well, okay, then this is revealed knowledge. So then Steve starts a religion because I'm talking to him, which is so interesting. Because remember when I said I texted you and I said, remind me to tell you about Daffy Duck and God?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a little bit of a digression, but it's okay.
Whatever. We have time.
It's in line with what we're saying. So last week we were talking about how could we tell that things were a simulation.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, because I was re-listening when I was editing, about the section about Daffy having his...
Yeah.
Artist
was fucking with him.
So, okay, but in what I didn't say then that I realized when I listened to it back is you weren't really describing just a simulation when you were describing that. You were describing a simulation meaning that it's a situation that people just let run in that and the character or the person believes that it's reality, whatever they're in, you know, there's nothing strange happening. They're just going through life and they think it's their reality. Well, what Daffy was having happen there was the hand of God, quite literally.
Intrusive. Yeah.
changing things for him. Yeah. Okay. And so that got me to thinking, what if the history that we understand as like biblical stuff with miracles,
right,
was actually prior to the point where they're like, because debugging and changing
and
there's
like, you know what, let's just let it run.
And no, I'm saying that in the early days, in the early stages, there were a lot of bugs and they had to pull those bugs out. So for instance, and
like, oh my God, we didn't know Daniel was going to die down there with that lion. We better resurrect him.
No, something like this. Jesus walking on water. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here.
Right.
But let's say that was a glitch in the Matrix. Yeah.
It's like, oh man, we forgot to make water liquid.
Like that guy, most people sink in water, but for some reason that guy didn't.
Bubble feet. Yeah.
They know it's a simulation and they're like, oh, there must be some kind of issue there. And they correct it, but it's still
too late. Jesus already got the rep.
Somebody's done it. He's got the rep. And that turns him into something that isn't not maybe what he was. I don't know.
Who knows?
Let's everyone remember before anyone accuses me of being, what's the word I'm looking for? Against
blasphemous. I'm not entirely sure you're innocent of that.
Before anybody accuses me of that. But so I'm agnostic. I don't know what to believe. But okay, let's say that that's the case, right? So that could be evidence of previous glitches in the system.
Could be.
Because one of the things that you always hear is, if there were miracles then, why aren't there miracles now? And people will say, well, there are miracles. No, there are no miracles like there were miracles in the Bible.
Right. They were happening on the daily.
They were happening a lot. People got, you know, resurrected from, like, brought back to life after being dead, and you got Jesus walking on water and doing kind of magic with
doing numbers and fish and bread.
And even before that, you know, and then I guess maybe even after that, maybe that's what miracles are. When people see miracles, that's a glitch in the system. Maybe when people see UFOs, that's a glitch in the system. Maybe that's
could be.
And they're they've got to debug it. But anyway, no more miracles now, really.
Right.
Nothing like that anyway. Right. And
if there are, they are allergic to cell phones.
So for me, that's a sign. That could be evidence that's right there that we have turned into a religion.
Yeah.
And
could be, sure. Because of course, I'm trying to remember what the name of the...
Well, because, be honestly, if all of a sudden we were walking down to the beach and I just started walking on water, both you and I would be shocked by that.
I would be a little stunned. So there was a game, there was a video game, it was a really good one. I think it was called Black and White. Mm-hmm. And it was a simulation game. But instead of you controlling individual characters, you were literally God. And the way you interacted with the world was a giant hand could come down and you could pick guys up and put them where you wanted, or you could wipe them out, or you could, you know, bring them resources or whatever. But you were literally the hand of God in this thing.
Like the claw for the guys.
Exactly. The claw chooses. But so you could literally do that. And that's kind of what I'm envisioning here when I say, you know, that you can control your simulation. Now, it's intrusive to do so, right? People are going to talk because this giant hand came down and lifted up Elmer and put him out in the farmland because we need to bring in the wheat, whatever it was. And you could be angry and you could just smash your village if you wanted, like with your big fist of God. So it was a pretty cool game. But that's kind of what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about, you know, godlike powers that the designers or the players of the simulation have compared to us. So I don't think there's any restriction there. They could change whatever they want. But you're right. Maybe back then they were still adjusting stuff. They hadn't really figured it all out. And their simulations hadn't discovered, you know, video recording yet. Yeah. So, you know, you could always explain it away. But yeah, that's very likely going to have to start a religion, right? Humans are kind of hardwired for that anyway. Mm-hmm. Because we like to try to explain whatever patterns we think we see in the world. So, you know, if a big finger came down and, you know, set a tree on fire or something, that's probably going to inspire some religious feelings on the part of the simulations. I mean,
it would be terrifying.
Of course.
I mean, we see things like ball lightning come down and cause, or well, I don't know if ball lightning can hurt something, but you could, you know, there are sort of events that we've now figured out are natural, but that, you know, probably prior to the scientific revolution had sort of mystical or supernatural.
Thor is shooting lightning at us
from
his balls or whatever. I don't know how that works.
It would be from the fingertips, I think. Well, I don't know about Thor. I feel like it's God doing that.
Yeah, you just like that image of the
finger,
the finger of God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there were probably, like I said, supernatural explanations for things that were perfectly natural.
Right.
Humans just didn't understand what they were.
So I've taken the position that we can judge the builders or whatever we're going to call them based on them allowing pain and suffering in their simulation.
Yes.
But there are also major ramifications for our ethical and moral systems.
Right.
Because now, instead of being base reality and living in the world and all of that, we come to find out that we're just avatars or we're simulations. Yes, we're now, you know, self-aware, we think, but it's not, you know, is life even a big deal anymore? I mean, you could just restart it, right? You could just restart the simulation.
Well, right. And that would assume that we understood that the simulation was something that could be turned on and off at will. That would be your short, your one where we have all these implanted memories and like all of the history is just made up. But hang on, let me finish. So that would imply, that would for me have implications if the simulation was like that, where someone thought, well, if I just go out and start killing everyone, it doesn't matter because the person who's playing this particular simulation will go, well, it's run amok, we'll start again.
Right.
But let's say we just found out that this is one reality of multiple simulation realities, and the reality, the way things work in this simulation are the way things that we understand that they work.
Right.
I mean, what we're conscious of is real to us. This is
but
our
don't
play.
You see how they could easily just say, well, it's not real anyway. Who gives a fuck?
Well, then they die. Then their avatar.
They would kill other people or.
Well, they might kill other people.
They might
do all of those things, but ultimately the numbers are against them within the society. They couldn't kill everyone. I guess,
right.
Unless someone got really nihilistic with the
Well, what if 70% of people, once they learn that it's a simulation, adopt that outlook?
Well, then, I mean, obviously the simulation, it's game over.
Yeah.
But I think that most of us in the simulation, you'd struggle with it, you'd grapple with it, but you would find, because we're conscious and because we do feel that we're living this experience, I think that most people would just figure out that, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is all I know. I can't leave here and be someplace else.
Yeah, I think that
the desire to live, sort of the survival instinct, because we all have that, it wouldn't suddenly stop feeling like we want to survive.
Most likely, yeah.
Probably not, right? Because this is what it is. All of these conditions are in place.
Yeah, I think you're giving humanity maybe a little bit too much credit.
I don't know. I'm
because,
optimistic.
Look,
what
you're,
can I tell you?
You're a smart intellectual person, right? You can get your head around these concepts and reason out, you know, hey, we should still, you know, yes, I know we're in a simulation, but we should still treat it as if it's just as real as anything else because this is what we've got, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. Do you really think like all of the mouth breathers in the world are going to be able to do that?
I think that most people, just because intellectual, like, your IQ has nothing to do with your survival instinct.
That's false.
What are you talking about? Your desire as a human being? You're telling me that someone who is less intelligent desires less to live?
But I'm saying it does impact it, right? Because there are times when people decide that their survival instinct is now a burden and they choose otherwise, right? And they might do that for very rational reasons, terminal disease, whatever it is.
Right.
So.
But there, that's another factor that's it. Well, that has nothing to do with their intelligence.
I think you're overestimating how philosophical people can be. I mean, look, we can't even handle a regular election in this country without, you know, all kinds of wild imaginations.
All right. That's, everybody has.
Conspiracy theories and whatever.
Yes. But that does not, again, how does that have an impact on someone's survival instinct? That is something that is just a human thing
because
or
despair,
an animal thing.
Despair could overcome them. I wanted to have a real life, and now I'm just pixels.
But despair has nothing to do with intelligence. You called these people mouth breathers.
I did. There's a lot of people out there that breathe through their mouth.
No, okay. It's not – you know what that was meant to mean when you said mouth
dumb
breathers.
People.
Dumb people.
There's lots of those.
But being dumb – despair can overcome your will to live. Being dumb doesn't.
Well, if you lack certain – mental capacity, you can't even get your head around the idea. I mean, look, how hard was it even for us to sit here and discuss what it's like to live in a simulation? It's challenging mental gymnastics to go, okay, now I know I'm not experiencing base reality. People who have never even thought about what base reality is. Now I am somewhat removed from base reality. I'm living in a simulation that was likely started by someone else, that they have ultimate control, and now how am I going to negotiate that? That's an intellectual pursuit. Not everybody is equipped to do that.
It's a paradigm shift. It would be another paradigm shift.
I guess.
That's all that this is. That would be like saying when the scientific revolution happened that certainly some portion of people – They're not necessarily dumb. They may be very, very smart. They just feel despair over this.
They might.
This situation.
But I'm just saying, the people who are not mentally equipped for these kind of theoretical gymnastics will have a harder time processing even the idea that you are a simulation. No, and I suspect some of them will just reject the idea.
Well, they might reject the idea, but to me, you're. I'm pushing back on the dumb thing. And maybe if you want to extract that and just say that they're not emotionally capable.
You can't ignore the fact that there's a huge portion of the world that is dumb.
I'm not saying that there are not dumb people, but they are dumb, they won't be able to.
Some of them won't be able
They won't be able to get to a place where they can intellectually grapple with the fact that we're simulations. Lucky them.
Well, I don't know that
lucky them.
But they're still being – I mean, everybody accepts now we're in a simulation. They just, like, can't grasp it. So there's a lot of things that could happen.
They'll live – they might kill themselves. They might go bananas and kill a bunch of people.
Or they might kill others. Yeah.
Okay. That all may be true. That all might happen. But
that's what I'm talking about.
Those would be the outliers of the society.
You don't know that.
I think it would be. And I also think that a big portion of people – would just roll with the paradigm shift. I think that a big portion of people would just pretend that what used to be still is. And then there would be a bunch of other people who would go, well, now we know that things are different, but now we also know that there is definitely a creator and a new form of religion. I think that a new form of religion would be created.
That would be great.
And human beings are, we don't like chaos, so we like to figure out ways to make things make sense. Yeah. And I think that maybe then it would be a new religion.
Well,
I'm not talking about the Duran Duran song.
Although maybe you should.
That's what I think. I don't think anything is dependent on how intelligent someone is. I mean, honestly, ignorance is bliss in some cases. So I think that for some people, I would think that the ones who be led to most despair are the ones who can really grasp and understand the significance of what this means.
And do you
means.
Think that is more likely to be a smart person or a dumb person?
No, I think that I think those people, the smartest ones, will be the ones led to despair, and they would do the most self-harm to themselves.
It's
because the more that you can really understand that it's nothing real here, then I think that would be the thing that would lead to the most despair. Those would be the smartest people, not the dumbest, who would be
most susceptible to
self-harm. I think the less intelligent people, they could also be despairing, like just going, well, you know, fuck, like it's a simulation. I'm still living in poverty. I think also it would be class dependent.
I think that
people who are super wealthy might go, lucky me, I got the great end of the simulation. Let's keep this going. Where less economically sound people would go, well, fuck this. This is a simulation. I want your money. Then none of this is real, but I want that.
You are a historian by training.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Name a major paradigm shift that happened where it went smoothly.
No. I never said that it would go
smoothly.
I'm
just asking you, is there one?
No, I can't.
Because the biggest
paradigm shift I point to, because it's the one I know the most about,
is the
scientific revolution.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reformation, but it's still it's not really a paradigm shift because everything is still religious. It's just a different, different understanding of how the religion works. Scientific revolution changed the way that most people understand everything about the world.
Wow. How smooth did that go?
No, it didn't go smoothly. But what I told you, what I said happened before this paradigm shift is exactly what happened the last paradigm shift, which is people adapted. They just kind of rolled with it. Some people rejected it completely and caused themselves a lot of trouble with, religious wars and remained superstitious and just sort of went, okay, we understand that science is here and they're still
checking their horoscope and stuff.
No. But I think that, I think that all of those kinds of things happened, except possibly for the fact that, I would argue that actually, I'm not wrong. It's not one big religion, but it's all of this, you're getting all the culty stuff happening after the scientific revolution. There's all kinds of governmental issues because that changes how people think about leadership and rulers. The scientific revolution does. But subsequent to that, and we've been talking about the crisis of meaning in other episodes, there's this falling away from traditional structures, and what that leads to then is people looking for other structures to take those places. So I think that you saw that happen after the scientific revolution as well. Because, I mean, if you did believe it, if you went, oh, yeah, this is absolutely the truth,
then
you're like suddenly, oh, my gosh, I can't, God is not. It doesn't make sense for there to be a God.
I already figured that bit out.
What?
God is not.
No, right. But now the change you'd have to grapple with going, if this was a paradigm shift, is now there is. But that'd be God.
I accept that there are probably beings in this universe that are so vastly more powerful than us that they would look godlike. So you can call them gods if you want. It doesn't matter. But what I know for pretty close to rock solid certitude is there's not that perfect, omniscient, omnipotent, omnibenevolent God. Because unless the whole entire system of logic is also going to be turned on its head, which just robs all meaning from the universe, then it can't exist.
Mark, it
not
would
possible.
100% be a created world if we lived in a simulation.
So? That doesn't mean that, again,
of this world.
Sure, and you can call them a god if you want. What I'm telling you is it can't be
the
omniscient.
Christian god.
It can't be that.
No, of course it can't
be that. And
that's
the only thing I've ever said doesn't exist.
Well, so you allow for the fact that there could be another type of, allow for the watchmaker hypothesis?
No.
Why? Because that's what it would be.
That's an all-powerful, benevolent.
It's not an all-powerful, benevolent God.
Yeah.
It's just a creator who
puts things into motion
and then
steps
back. So you're actually agnostic.
No, I'm atheist. Because first of all, I don't believe in things that I don't have sufficient reason. I'm not agnostic when it comes to unicorns on Earth, right? I'm not.
I'm just atheistic. Don't know. I can't say that the world was not created by some kind of
it could be.
Thing.
Yeah, could be.
Some have, kind of power.
But we don't have any evidence that that's the case.
Right, but I don't. That's right. It's exactly right. 100%.
But and if
which
you don't
is why
have,
I'm agnostic because we don't evident, have evidence for anything.
But see,
so
that,
I don't know.
But see, that's not how I approach things. I don't. I don't go
wrong.
Just because I don't know something, I don't walk around in a constant state of befuddlement, thinking
I'm
well,
not befuddled.
Maybe a little bit.
Wow. No, I'm not befuddled at all. Look, I don't know,
go around so... going, God, I wonder if Pegasus is real.
No,
well, it might be. Could
no,
be.
No,
it can't. It's not real.
I know, but that doesn't mean that there is not a creator of the universe.
I didn't say that there. It's possible that there is.
Right.
But I have.
But you don't know.
Right.
So, okay, so you are an agnostic by definition with around a creator
I know that
of
I have
universe.
No good reason to believe in one.
Do you know for a fact that there was absolutely no creator of the universe?
No.
So you don't know.
But I don't believe it that
no, okay.
there was one.
But you don't know.
No. I don't even know for a fact there is a universe. So no, of course not.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this could go, this conversation
so anyway,
could go
it
on
would,
forever.
One
so,
of the effects of accepting that you're in a simulation.
Has to be that there is a creator.
Yeah. And you'll probably change or at least temporarily change or reexamine your views on life, the value of it. Free will, all these things, right? These are all going to come into question because now the world is something very different than what you thought it was.
But is it?
Yeah.
Your world, where you are, is what it, you thought it was.
Do you think you're in a simulation right now? Well, you might think you are.
No, but like, so what if I was?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's, and that is a legitimate response to learning that you're in a simulation, is to say, you know what? For all practical purposes, my life hasn't changed. I'm still living in the same universe that I thought I was. It has a different origin story than I thought, but I still feel pain. I still feel empathy for others. I still have friends, whatever it is. And you can say, you know what? Who cares? And ultimately, that would be my reaction as well.
Right. I think that there are things that you would ponder. I think that you would think about instead, you might think about, well, what does that mean for an afterlife, right? That you're going to,
yeah.
you're going to ponder an eschatology then. You're going to really come into confrontation with the religion. And so existing religious people might say, haha, we were right. There is a creator.
Yeah.
And then within the, you know, all of the various different religious groups would continue potentially to follow their same
right.
Doctrine because it's what they were proven right about, right? Like, this is our creator. And then
yeah, until they find out that it's a guy living in his parents' basement.
People who, well, it doesn't matter. People who, yeah. well, how would you find out? You wouldn't know. And that's one of the things I think you
well,
grapple with.
Well, depends on how you find
what
out.
What is the creator? What is the creator? Yeah. What does that mean? And you're right. It would depend on who, if they find out, if they are able to calculate this with math within this universe and tell us, well, you know what? We've done the math. We're not real.
Yeah.
But we never have like any contact
yeah. then,
with.
Then you, it makes it easier for you to just go. Well, okay. That was wild.
Yeah. So you I know? Guess, you know, it's kind of like,
just
I feel like
it'd
be like a shrug, like, you know, oh, UFOs are real. All right.
So like, but in, you know, you may be confronted with things like, is it worth doing space travel now? You
maybe
know?
Not. Maybe
yeah.
it's not.
Is but it worth doing any science at all? Well, I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
And
it's all fake.
But then
fake it, news.
And then the simulation, you know, then it would, what would you do? Everybody sits down and does nothing. But I just, that's just not what it is to be human. They have created.
As far as we know.
but we are. It yeah. is what we know. There is for us nothing. There's no way to escape the simulation. I'm not suggesting that we.
As far as we know. Yeah.
Well, right. I'm not. And then that might be the goal, right? Well, how do we get out of the simulation and what's out there and trying to figure out, well, what can we see about what's beyond the simulation?
Yeah.
And that's going to become something, again, that people will grapple with and how they interact with that question, which is, what is going on with the creator? Like, what is that or
yeah.
he or her or whatever it is? They would have all the same kind of questions, but they would know with absolute certitude that there is a creator.
Well,
so then they would have they have that to grapple with.
I would
right?
argue that if we figured it out mathematically, a very small slice of humanity would accept that as proof that we're living in a simulation. Because again, most of the world can't do advanced mathematics. And right. if someone came to you with a mathematical proof and says, hey, I proved that we're living in a simulation, I look at them like, that vaguely looks like linear algebra, but I didn't do that great in that class. I have no way of, you know.
What would it take to make you believe? Okay, so there's a good question. Yeah. It's kind of like.
I want to see the hand going on, come like, out of the sky.
What would it take I think it would to take, make you believe?
I think it would have to take, quote unquote, a miracle that goes against all scientific theory. Right? Something that just violates all the scientific laws we know for me to go. And I don't even know if that tells me necessarily much about the creator.
No, I'm not saying
I would say, okay, that's fucked up. This is a simulation.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say this happens, right? Yeah. The scientists math it out. They figure out, okay, before we had God, science killed God. Science created or discovered God or something like that, right?
I would say you guys don't even know what you're talking about.
But let's say they mathed it out.
Yeah.
So all of that science that felt like it was so against the creator and was going to replace the creator into the scientific paradigm, ultimately, was now used to prove that what it killed was actually real. We just did, there is a creator. All right. So now you math it out. In mathing it out, they figured a way to show the glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
So they math, they say, well, here's the math that says it. We knew that if we did this, then something would happen. Something would unrender or whatever. You know, there would be some kind of what you're calling a miracle. Yeah. But if all of a sudden you saw a tree disappear.
Because it would have to disappear in a really cool way.
Yeah.
like if it just turned into sparkles and blew away in the wind, I'd be like, oh, that shit might be simulated.
Never show that to me again.
Yeah. Whoever's running the show here, I don't need to see that at all. Get that nonsense away from me.
So let's say, okay, so then that's proof positive to you. But like, okay.
And I don't even know. It would depend exactly on how they do it. Because, again, my framework would be to look for an explanation that works with the universe I already know. Mm-hmm. Right? That I don't – whenever every time something happens, I don't go, oh, I wonder if that was those gravity angels that I talked about back in episode 10 or whatever it was. Right? I don't think that.
Right.
I don't – we have to redo that thought process every time. So if I saw something weird like that, I'd be like – I might be drunk. I might be fucked up right now. Maybe Christina slipped me a Mickey.
No, I mean.
But wouldn't that be your first reaction? You're like, you got to check your senses.
You got to check your senses. But
if it just kept happening or 100,000 other people saw it, then I'd be like, all right.
Well, no, if 100,000 people saw it, I'd maybe think, am I part of a group hysteria?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this some kind of experiment?
Should I start dancing?
Yeah. Is this a movie? What's going on?
Exactly.
All right. So, but let's say, here's a question. What about, you said something like, well, as far as we know. Well, let's say that they've figured out, let's say that we're the base reality. And all along, someone has figured out how to do this kind of a simulation.
Yeah.
And the simulation is now running.
Yeah.
And so that's how the government knows that, well, you know, we've got the simulation and now we might be in a simulation. Because if we figured it out, somebody.
Oh, yeah. And remember, we talked about that.
We did.
As one of the ways you could prove a simulation, which is create your own simulation.
Right. So let's say we do that. So then let's say very few people really know about it.
Yeah.
Let's say it's
that's probably wise.
You know, let's say that few people know about this technology. And obviously, they would have to alert people in the government. But let's say this is one of those things that, like, it just does not get out.
Like, like, five people in the government and the doctor.
Right.
And that's it.
And is the government then – I mean, I would think that would be morally reprehensible if they knew that. Or Do you think...
Unless they think that shit's just going to go haywire if they tell them.
But how would they know?
Well, that's just... They don't, but they don't want to risk it.
Unless they've run a simulation.
Yeah, maybe their simulation. Like, look, once you tell these people, they go buck wild. Trust me. They just lose their fucking minds. Well, nobody will be wearing pants. They're not going to listen to stop signs. It's anarchy.
All right. Well, but okay. But
all right. So I have a wrinkle to throw at you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Because here's the one that comes closest to my view of the simulation. Mm-hmm. And that is a simulated reality.
Yeah.
Without a programmer.
Simulated reality without a programmer. What do you mean?
Let's say base reality is just a giant electromagnetic field. And all we are little ripples in that field. But the characteristic of our little ripples in the field are that we've created this kind of reality around us that is not base reality. But this is just how we see the universe. Even though base reality is this endless electromagnetic field, maybe we have simulated, you know, our observations, our sense data, our thoughts, et cetera, around what we think is base reality. Because right now, you and I think, for the most part, this is base reality. We know we're not seeing things perfectly because, you know, we both have bad eyes and, you know, we look at everything from a Western perspective or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what if it is a simulation in the sense that this is not base reality? Base reality is this just endless electromagnetic field, but we experience our little ripples in the electromagnetic field in this way. And that I could absolutely believe is a simulation, because there are, when you start to do quantum mechanics, the nature of reality seems very different than it does to us. Mm-hmm. Causality, it gets fucked up, because for us, causality is straightforward. A causes B, right? Mm-hmm. And that means A took place in time before B. In fact, that's really the biggest job of time, mm-hmm. is to allow for the idea of causality. Mm-hmm. And, but on a quantum level.
Oh, so that's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
Because if you take away causality.
If you take away time.
And you take away time. Oh, well, right.
You don't really have causality because everything is contiguous or
well, I was going to say if you take
simultaneous.
Away, I was going to say if you take away causality, you don't need time,
right?
Right. So then time ceases to exist.
Yeah, because you're just now you're just, you know, hovering over the pool of infinity here, and it doesn't matter what period.
Well, you can't
of time.
Even describe it.
No,
you wouldn't
not.
Even be able to describe it because you have to. You use words that are influenced by
that's
the,
right.
the.
You're right.
The
I mean,
pressure of time.
My brain is wired to understand time, and it's not wired to understand not time.
Yeah.
It gets really timey-wimey, as I've said.
It is timey-wimey.
So, but what about if it is a simulation in the sense that the reality we're experiencing is removed, far removed, let's say, from base reality?
So then here's a question for you. You said
but there doesn't have to be a creator of that, right? It's just how our electromagnetic wiggles proceeded in.
Well, then, but I mean, I think you have to say, well, who created that?
No, you don't. See, that's now you're trying to use the kind of the first mover argument that people have tried to use to justify God. And it's not a compelling argument because you can say, well, what created that? Maybe it was always there. And you're like, well, something can't always be there. I'm like, really? Who created God? Well, he's always there. So, you know, that argument never works. You can't really make a compelling first mover argument, at least not a logically compelling one.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's my view of the simulation, is that I think that base reality is probably very different from what I experience, but it doesn't matter because I don't have access to it, right? And this is the reality that my senses and nervous system and brain and everything has constructed around me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if my version of reality looks anything like yours, right?
Right. You don't. And that was going to be my question. Are we, so then the, So my question is that, let's say your reality is this electromagnetic wave, and part of your reality is understanding that there's a long history and the world looks and works the way that it does.
Yeah.
And you have created me as a part of your reality.
You are welcome.
But let's say there also—
You would think I would have a little bit more control over you,
though. Let's say there is also a me.
Yeah.
There is a me that is in another electrical magnetic wave. Am I having my own world and I've created you? Or— Are our worlds interacting in a way? Because then if our worlds were just interacting or our simulations were just interacting, then what I'm actually experiencing could be, you know, radically different from what you actually are experiencing. And we just think we're existing in the same thing. But I think it was probably by degree rather than by great
division. I'll tell you what I actually believe. I think that whatever reality is to me, we share it on some level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we both reach out our hands straight in front of us, we're going to touch something. It's your laptop. I don't know what you guys were thinking I was going to say. It's Christina's laptop, right? We do this, and you do the same thing, and you experience something in this space, whether the space is real or not, it doesn't matter, but it appears to be something in space about 2 feet in front of both of us, right? So that's why I think we have a shared reality. Now, does it feel the same, like, you know, with a capital letter for me to do it?
Who knows? You can only
That's the problem of other minds, right? You don't know what they experience.
You can only ever experience your own consciousness. Your consciousness is yours and yours alone. I can't ever experience your consciousness.
It's pretty inaccessible. At least we haven't figured out how to do it.
I think that there are some people who think that they know how to do that stuff.
Yes, I'm sure they do.
But that's like magical.
Yes, but they are lying.
That's magical stuff. Yeah.
You can't inhabit. I can't step into your brain pan and experience things the way you experience them. I just can't. Not yet. Now, technologically, is that theoretically possible? Sure. Right? That we could take how your brain interprets things and somehow make that a watchable experience for me, possible. Not now, certainly. Not any time in the near future.
I think that doctors, scientists really have a struggle even understanding how really the brain works.
They
have a good idea of how to keep a body living, you know.
Pretty good,
when it comes to the brain and when you can't, you know.
Yep.
And they figured out ways, you know, like, for instance, to be able to, you know, your body's still living, but your brain is dead. And you could linger on forever, maybe, but,
why
would you do that? So, so they've learned how to get into it that far. But there's still, I think, a lot that they don't know.
Oh, absolutely. They don't even really truly understand unconsciousness.
Like consciousness or unconsciousness.
Right, or either one. That's right, because if you understood one, you'd understand
Because, I mean, you can understand consciousness in the sense of being awake and alert. Right.
We can describe it, but we don't really understand why that's different than being asleep.
And you don't understand how your brain relates to the self, like your conscious self-consciousness, right? Like, because that's another really human. You can be conscious, but are you self-conscious? Are you
self-aware?
Self-aware, yeah.
So anyway, that's my theory, is that I think it's more likely, and I don't really have any proof of this, obviously, I think it's more likely that the simulation we live in, rather than being some elaborate Minecraft game or historical genealogical exploration, I think it's more likely that whatever base reality is, it's probably very different from how we experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm okay with that. But I think that's the simulation part, a non-created or non-creator driven simulation.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened the way we think the universe happened, just in a very different, with different appearance and properties, et cetera. But it just either always was, or it sprung into being, whatever it is. And as time goes on, these little perturbances in the electromagnetic field became planets and suns and people and bears, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that is, to me, a more likely explanation mm-hmm. for how we live in a simulation. So now I've exposed my great simulation theory. That's it. Do I have any proof of this? No. Do I have any evidence of it? Also, no. Have I done the math, though, to show that it's possible? No.
That joke never gets
old. I know.
That's a great setup.
I love that joke form. It's so good.
That's a good setup. Well, this was a fantastic conversation. There is so much more, obviously, that I could say and you, but we've already now gone on for over an hour and 15 minutes.
Do we both kind of agree that simulation or not, you just have to kind of keep on living the way you
keep
live.
Keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking with your giant shoe and you're like leaning way back. How many people drew that on their notebooks in the 70s?
Stupid thing. But yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can sit around and be existential for a couple of days, but then,
I don't have
time
for that.
Then what are you going to do? Your bills are going to come.
I know.
You're going to go, fuck it, I'm not paying my bills. Like, well, then you're really going to get kicked out of your house.
Yeah, they're like, you know? Sheriff's Department. I'm like, allegedly.
I mean, are you though? You're not real. Watch if I do this equation.
Maybe,
look what happens. That tree disappears.
Maybe that poor Karen on the airplane who's like, that guy back there.
That motherfucker
is not real. Maybe she figured it out. Look how they treated her.
She got kicked off a flight.
She got kicked off the flight for discovering we live in a simulation.
All right. Well, so I guess we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah.
And jump out of this into next week. I think we're gonna have a what the fuck episode, and then we'll get into Army Hammer.
All right, I'm ready for that.
All right, well, thanks for coming and listening to us each week. We really appreciate it. We do have some social media for you to follow us. We are on Twitter at Christina Gen X, and Mark is at Mark Eats Peach, and our podcast page is Extemporaneous 2. All right, thanks for coming. Bye.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.